Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Our Halloween episode was so nice, we had to do it twice. We're back again celebrating Halloween, joined again by Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, how's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Can't believe it's almost November already. How about that?
Each week on our Gaming Tailgate Twitter account, we ask the fans out there, the community, what did you see in this past week that you'd like to see in EA Sports College Football next year when it releases, hopefully in July? We're a little backlog, so this episode, we're going to focus solely on the community, the feedback you've given us, things we've noticed each week of action. So we're going to fly through and start looking at. We did week one on a previous show. Week two, we always try to give a few things we notice in the pictures. That way, if you see this on Twitter, you know what we're getting at, some of the things we saw. That week, some alternate field art, the new turnover throne, which I really thought Fox would highlight more of that game. They didn't, thank goodness. And that weekend was marred by a lot of weather delays, a lot of games on the East Coast, some of them with seemingly long delays. We asked the community, what did you want to see out of that week? We get some big items, some little item, detailed items. Immaculate has a much more improved stadium experience. Johnny Bearcat 88 says the new Cincy Bearcats uniforms through the first three games. Dustin Brown, a very loyal member, he always gives good feedback. The sideline celebrations when a player gets a turnover or a touchdown and the team has like a chain or something for the players. Team celebration in the end zone like the chomp from Florida or the O for OSU. Just make it feel like an every Saturday college football game. Is that something you guys expect with the technology that maybe the sideline experience and the game experience will get up to notch? I'm in the camp I will, that it will be, but I just don't know if year one where we see the big leap.
Yeah, I'd be curious if it happens week one, but I mean, it kind of brings up a good point. In the past 10 years, you know, the turnover chain has kind of come and not died out. Obviously, they're still trying to reinvent it every other week, but it's almost kind of come and gone to a point. So it's kind of interesting to see whether or not EA spends a lot of time on that. But, you know, I would like to see kind of some of those unique things. But again, I've said this on past podcasts, you have to build it in the right way to where I'm not trying to fast forward through it, you know, make it to where it's integrated with the rest of the game so that I can keep calling my play while I see the turnover chain being put on my player or something like
that. It has to feel organic and not take you out of the, you know, out of the atmosphere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's probably going to be something that's generic because these things change so often. Teams, obviously, as players come and go and whatever, you know, it's not always going to be the same thing that they do. And so, you know, if they just do a generic, you know, team logo on a chain and you have a cutscene while you're calling a play or something, maybe that's something you could do with that. Didn't old games have, like we were talking about the celebrations, didn't some of the old games have the old frowned upon horns down back in the day?
I don't know if they had the horns down. I'm fairly certain they did have the Gator Chomp and maybe the U and things like that.
The UCF, you had the, I think OU, it was back in 08, 09. I believe 09 was the one where they added that. Yeah, after a score, you could hit wire, triangle, and trigger it after a touchdown, for example.
Yeah, I don't think they would ever do horns down just because Texas would have fought them tooth and nail for that. So
they've already complained enough. So
yeah, I can't imagine that'll ever get in.
Right.
I'd take a penalty just to give them the horns down.
Warlord Gimo says more camera angles when spectating, ability to talk OCDC into staying longer, variety in running styles, weight direction. I'd like to see power runners fall forward more often and not get cleaned up by 160-pound corners. We're better in coverage than tackling. Could go on for days. I agree completely, especially with the physics of it. Sometimes in Madden, it feels like you're going uphill, and it doesn't really matter the size of the guy coming at you. It just always feels like no matter what, it's going to be that fight to get the yard when it really shouldn't be.
I mean, personally, and honestly, I'll be honest, I've put Madden aside for the past month or so, but to me, Madden feels at least a little bit better in terms of that at least the small guy is not going to, you know, try to tackle, you know, Travis Henry you know, somebody like that. So at least it's, you know, at least a little bit better, I think. And obviously that would translate to college football.
Yeah. Like the franchise that CDJ and I play, we have two completely different types of running backs. He's got Josh Jacobs, who is more of a power guy. I've got Khalil Herbert, who's more of a smaller guy. While he can go in and kind of sneak, if he runs into that wall, it does seem like, at least in this year's Madden, it does seem like he kind of falls if not just horizontally, a step back or two. It's not just forward for four more yards where you've kind of seen it in the past. So it does seem like they've done a little better job of differentiating backs, at least over the last couple of years.
There was a version of Madden, I think 4 or 5 years ago, that very much felt like that last yard was always uphill. I don't know how they did it, but it always felt like that last yard you're trying to get, you're going uphill, and I don't know how they did it, but it does seem way better the last few years.
Yeah, goal line was almost impossible. You almost had to throw on first and goal at the one. You almost had to throw because it was almost impossible to get through.
Coach Gunn says hire and fire OCs, DCs.
Cook, that's in man. Madden, so... I think so. That should be something to expect in NCAA. If Coke they use man a similar fort, man.
It says players wearing college uniforms from our favorite team. So ready for the game to be back. He just wants the game. He doesn't care about any details. Sip says different styles of spread offense from Napier's power run pistol spread, tight formations too, to Heupel's spread where they stretch all the way to the sidelines and slot wide receivers are outside of the hash with tighter splits from the offensive line. That's something I hope they do. I hope we get those. You know, in the past, we had 120 different ways to play. Well, now I hope we get the 135 ways to play. I'm only interested to see how, like, Heupel's offense, and they're spread so wide. What will that do to the defensive AI? It's one of if we don't get Heupel's offense, we're going to know it probably crashed the defensive
it
AI.
Broke it, yeah.
We're going to know that something went wild there. That's why we didn't get it. And Skull Pirate says authentic stadium entrances for all schools would be amazing. I agree. I think that's tough. I think we better be lucky if the perceived top 40 or so get it. I hate to say those. The little schools have great entrances too. Like Eastern Michigan has a unique one where they come out and knock the wall down. It's one of those. I think the big ones will be in. The smaller schools, we'll probably have to wait a year or two.
And we talked about it last show, Inner Sandman, is it going to be in there? It's like there's only a certain amount of authentic they can get on those, but.
Yeah, there's only so much money and time, especially in year one not to bag any EA, but if you look at their history when they bring titles back or bring into new consoles, that first year can be a little rough.
You wonder if
in terms of missing features or just needing polish.
And you wonder if that's included in some of the assets. Do they include what is being done? Nebraska, of course, Nebraska just changed it, but they used to go out of a certain gate. They had the
Northwest tunnel, now it's Northeast.
Yeah, they used to have this gate with the graphics on it. Now they kind of changed that up a little bit. But, I'm kind of wondering are schools providing that as they're providing the assets? It'd be interesting to see if that's the case.
Week three, this was one that watching the games, I thought was interesting. Missouri, K-State, rivalry game. So the broadcast show a lot of old programs, which to me kind of hit home, not necessarily the programs, which I think are really cool. But it seemed like the PS3 version, we never really got the history of a series or rivalry. We got the trophy, which is great. I mean, it's great they added those in. But I'd be back on PS2, you could on some of the rivalries, you would get the record of the rivalry, and you'll see the recent games played in the rivalry. So you could get that feeling of, hey, we've lost 8 of 10 or we've lost 10 straight. Then you could feel and you finally break through and get that win in the rivalry. Whereas PS3, we never had that history. That's the one thing I think they never tackled that I think hopefully they will eventually on EA Sports College Football.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be great just to add it into the commentary that says, hey, here we have Missouri and Kansas State. Missouri's, won the past five. Is it Kansas State's year this year or something, even something simple like that just kind of makes you feel that it's more to me. Always the biggest challenge has been make it feel more than just one off game. Make it feel like an environment, a world that, has been going on for outside of this one game.
And we're going to get that this year with Ohio State, Michigan, because for the longest time, Ohio State was the bullies and had won how many straight in the series. Well, now Michigan, the last couple have dominated. So now there's this pressure on Ryan Day. If we could get that for the user where they feel like we've got to swing this rivalry back in our direction. That's one of those that be a big thing. I don't know if it'll be in year one, but I do hope they tackle that down the line. That game that week, we also had the big Colorado State game where they stormed the field. Again, storming the field is something everybody wants. Again, we have our doubts if the conferences or schools will allow it. And also the Florida-Tennessee game, and same with the Colorado State, a lot of emotion. It seemed like a brawl was going to break out any time, especially that first half of Colorado State. I don't know if you guys saw that. To the second half, they were a lot more calm. And then the Florida-Tennessee after the game, we had guys squaring up. Now, I don't know if that'll be in the game per se, but the emotion, whether it be a rivalry game or just a close game, sometimes players get heated. Sometimes in the games past, they have animations where they kind of shove each other and kind of look like they're dancing almost. But it would be nice to see more emotion of the players, especially if it ends up turning to where a little bit of frustration. It's a small thing, but it would be great.
Be kind of cool if they, on those rivalry games, you see more personal fouls maybe in a, or being called in a game or something like that.
Dustin Brown weighs in. I usually use spread offense, but with the new play clock always running, I want a no-huddle offense in the game where you can rush your play and not let the defense change players to be refreshed. If anything, a no-huddle spread offense would be amazing. That's, we mentioned this briefly in one of the previous shows, that it seems like now there's like, it's, you know, in the past we had three different formats of a offense or no huddle in the game. Well, now it seems like there's almost four or five in real life, like where they, you know, breakneck speed, like a Tennessee, even Colorado when they came out against TCU was lightning speed. You have teams that huddle up and, or, you know, they want to milk the clock. You have teams that huddle up, but, you know, still get to the line kind of quick. You have no huddle where they maybe not breakneck, but, you know, they don't want the defense to have a whole lot of time to read or react. It'd be interesting how they tackle that in the game, because there's so many different ways that it gets played now as compared to what we had 10 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, they kind of had the look to the sideline in the past and everything, but it wasn't like a true, you know, call your play and look to the sideline. It was a, you know, huddle up and replay the same play or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if you have like the full complement of the playbook, kind of like I think Madden does a pretty good job of it now. Or how that would really work. So, yeah, I mean, it's especially with the new clock rules, you're almost going to want to be able to run, hurry up, no huddle, because, you know, as at least as a video game, you're going to want to get as many snaps as you can in the game.
I'd like to see them maybe separate hurry up from no huddle, and you could choose to toggle hurry up on, and they will, it's not necessarily no huddle, but you're not cutting, you know, they're kind of rushing to the next ball, but you have the full, almost the full playbook, but not, you know, with what formation you were in before, where in no huddle, you know, it kind of sims a certain amount of time off the clock in Madden, and it is completely truly no huddle. I kind of wonder if you could separate the two as two different mechanics possibly.
Yeah. And then especially with like hurry up, if you go hurry up, you know, constantly, then your stamina increases or drops that much fast. Whereas if you run a normal no huddle, then your stamina is kind of about the same as if it was versus, you know, huddle or whatever. Because a lot of teams, they still run, you know, they still take, you know, 20 seconds off the clock or whatever it may be. So
Yeah, the bigger guys might affect the bigger guys more than your skill position players that you know can go like that for a certain amount of time. So then you see possibly that could open yourself up to, you know, just get beat by the defensive line and more prone to getting hit in the backfield if you are not too careful, or if you're using hurry up a little too much with depending on who you got.
And that's one thing, if we have 85 man rosters, like Matt Brown has speculated, injuries and stamina have to play a bigger role, or at least the option for a bigger role, especially in a dynasty. Otherwise, you're never going to get to your second and third teamers. So then why have 85 guys when you don't have to get beyond, you know, 30 to 50 players? So it's one of those, it has to be in there for the hardcore. I understand the online, they probably don't want that, but for guys like us and our communities, you know, we're going to want that for our dynasty. So then recruiting and depth becomes a factor.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is in, especially in college football, it's almost a luck of the draw, a matter of how healthy your team stays, whether or not you are competitive in week six. You know, by then your team is starting to get really dinged up, and you know the guys are losing some of their engine, and so it's kind of like you almost have to have that in, you know, the stamina has to be right, so that yes, your elite players can play, you know, 60 downs or whatever it may be, but you know, week to week you're also going to run the risk of more injuries and things like that.
Dustin Brown in another post says, I'm probably too late to add, but bring back custom fans and signs in the stands. That was a really cool feature back in the day. But also have it where you can update the signs every season, so you don't have a sign that says Heisman for a player who graduated 10 years ago. That was a cool feature back in the PS2 days. Of course, now I'm worried that now that with everything can be shared so much, back then, you know, it was mainly offline stuff. Now somebody can make something really inappropriate and share that, you know, through social media rather quickly, and that would reflect poorly on EA, which, you know, one bad apple can ruin for the bunch. But I think that's where we're at, unfortunately.
For sure.
This guy, Sai, has a two-parter, a deeper in-game creative school than team builder. As FBS continues to grow, the game could expand the cap number of teams for Dynasty Mode from 134 to 140, or even 142. NHL and other games have done this, and it could add immersion. Agree completely. I do think it's probably a mathematical and logistical nightmare to, you know, have that 134, 135 change, especially if you start changing the conferences. They have to have all these different structures in place. Very difficult. Doesn't mean we don't want it. Obviously, I think, you know, it's one of the, everybody wants it, but I can see where it's a big challenge to get in there.
The conferences are already a logistical nightmare to the point where you got to think EA's got to create an open kind of system to adjust, because who would have thought 10 years ago UCLA and USC were going to join the Big Ten, and who would have thought the Pac-12 would crumble almost, you know? So
right.
It's you've really got to kind of create an open system, and I'd assume it's, you know, the chaos has been like this for a few years, so you got to think that they probably had that in the back of their minds when they started development in the game, and so now they should have that ability to be more flexible. You know, is that going to be the case? I don't know, but you know, we might be seeing another shift in a couple of years. You never know what team gets unhappy with the way things go now that you've got 20 team conferences almost. You know, somebody's gonna maybe want to look for another greener pasture, and so that I think EA's got to think about keeping at least the conference part of it open. And at the same time, if you're keeping the conference part of it open, why not keep the ability to add and subtract teams to maybe freshen up however you're kind of running your dynasty.
I think the trick will be, though, is you won't be able to drop schools altogether. You wouldn't be able to get rid of schools because they want to be licensed in the game. And then the other side of it is, how do you add teams? You know,
that's where I was saying, like, offline dynasties, maybe you give them that option. But
right, maybe. But I mean, you know, how do you add teams? If you have a create a team, maybe you could add teams, but I don't think they're going to have FCS schools in, especially not year one. No. Create a team. Honestly, I don't expect that to be year one either. So, I mean, while I'd love to be able to see it expanded, I don't see the ability to drop schools, and I don't see the ability to expand in year one.
Week four, we had Oregon doing a stripe out or color out at the stadium. That was the week of the big Notre Dame Ohio State game. That was tremendous. Troubles counting to 11 in that game. Washington put up a big game against Cal, and then Florida State breaking through against Clemson. Dustin Brown, funny, was the Oregon mascot with the baseball bat and outfit coming out with the team. Mascots do themes nowadays, and that would be cool if you could pick their outfits or your coach's outfits every game. That is pretty hardcore detail thing. And then we had Seihart. He said, this formation from Army, because someone else will mention it. I have not had a chance to watch Army this year, so I have not seen this formation in action, but I'm with him. It's something that I hadn't seen, and I think a lot of fans are the same way. If there's a cool formation, we talk about it in the forums or we see it on social media, so then we have to go try it with the playbook. So it's one of those that even if we don't know it, once we find out about it online, everybody goes and tries it. So I'm with him. I would love to see as many unique formations as possible.
What the heck is this? Is it like a tight pistol?
It's like a pistol full house kind of scenario or something like that. That one would be really difficult to animate because all of the handoffs and things like that are so close to each other I guess it could work, but I honestly don't know how it would work. So, I mean, yeah, I want all the plays in there, all the plays. So by all means, I'd love to see them do something like this. But the problem is once you start adding more and more plays, more and more formations, then there's less time to spend on getting everything right.
Week five. Notre Dame rallied to beat Duke. Georgia, some tremendous catches from Brock Bowers to beat Auburn. We had Ole Miss and the shootout against LSU. And a Colorado-USC, another Colorado game with a very high-scoring outcome. Week six, the Red River rivalry or Red River shootout, depending on how old you are and what you want to say. We had Notre Dame falling at Louisville, getting blown out. A&M unable to get over the hump against Alabama. Seihart, I would love to see Brennan Marion's go-go offense implemented here. I'm a big fan of his. And actually, I think in week seven, we have a picture of that. It's one I found. So we'll talk about that here. Week seven, the week we just had finished here. Washington, Oregon was a tremendous game. We had Stanford rallying to beat Colorado. I went to bed at halftime. I thought that thing was over. I think it was even before halftime, and I had a clock. It was 22-0 when they got that two-point conversion. I said, I'm going to bed. Nothing's going to happen here.
99.8% chance to win at one point.
Yeah. I'm on the East Coast. There's no way I can start on those 10 p.m. kickoffs. So
I was luckily DJing, so I was watching it at the bar when I was working there. So, yeah, that was insane to you know, you see him within two scores. You're like, ah, uh-oh, but not expecting it. And then all of a sudden you're in overtime, and it's just it was just a crazy game.
Notre Dame beats USC, and Colorado State wins on a Hail Mary. They rally from 17-0 to Boise. When I went to bed, that was 17-0. So
yeah.
Unless in this past week is any Colorado team, I think they're out of it or having it in the bag. I shouldn't go to bed. I need to stay up because it's going to be a photo finish. The big one, that Notre Dame game that I don't think is getting a lot of talk, was Xavier Watts, a kid out of Omaha. Defensive player, had a tremendous game, a defensive touchdown, a fumble forced, a fumble recovery. He was just, I don't want to say the deciding factor, but I mean, he was a monster out there. And that's something that we talk about. We want to see all these great offensive plays and players and formations in the game. What about a standout defensive performance? You know, where a guy can be an absolute beast and just stand out. That's something that I know we don't talk about a lot because defense doesn't sell. Offense is what sells and is more fun. But if we can get something like that, I think that would be pretty cool.
Then going back to the offensive side of the ball, now you got another guy that's kind of risen and now one of the favorites for the Heisman's and Penix. So that's another guy that you can market the game around. And it's a team that really hasn't had glory in a while. You know, they've had that glory before, especially back in the early 90s. But now, mm-hmm. you know, especially after beating Oregon, first time both teams were in the top 10 when they battled. And this is a hated rivalry as well. So I think that kind of put Penix further on the map and even boosted him in the Heisman race at the same time.
I think two games you missed out on in your coverage there is one okay. was the, what was it, Houston and West Virginia,
yes.
I think that ended on at Hail Mary.
That was tremendous.
Another
crazy
Hail Mary,
game
yeah.
that way.
I did see
and
that.
And the other one that, you know, didn't really get much publicity. A lot of people may have not even seen anything about it, but I think, I'm pretty sure it was last week, maybe in the week before, was UTEP and FIU. And FIU had a Lambo on their sideline as a part of their celebration. And UTEP went and celebrated like next to it. Security guards pushing them off of the Lambo. So, yeah, that was pretty awesome. You know, there's no way EA can do something like that in the game, something that unique. But, you know, those are the kind of things that make college football so special.
Yeah, and so unique, whereas NFL is kind of, I don't want to say sterile or generic, but like a little Lambo on the field, that was great. Like you said, the security guy ran out there to make sure. I think he was worried they would scratch it or vandalize it, maybe unintentionally.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did run out there.
That's not something they probably owned. That's something they probably rented for a day.
Yep. I think it had a custom paint job that said FIU on, if I remember correctly. But I'm sure that was obviously on loan. That was not.
Yeah, it was probably a wrap.
Paint
job kind of thing. So
Pick Six Preview showed this formation from the UCLA Oregon State game. We'll let it replay here. I believe this is the go-go offense that was mentioned last week by a user here. Again, I didn't watch this game, which I had, but again, we talk about these unique formations.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what other kind of plays they run out of that formation, because it's unique in that you don't know how to prepare for it. And that's part of, you know, again, what's awesome about college football is everything is a little bit different. But
yeah,
at the same time, I'm not sure how much broad audience or broad offense you could run out of that specific formation. I'd be curious to see what they do.
Yeah, with that read option, you're seeing that guy 22 kind of get out there for a block, and then you know, you're going to choose to either keep it or give it to 7. And yeah, that's going to be the other interesting thing is the read option. You know, you don't really normally have a blocker that like that in front of you.
Because he should have been stopped there too. That should have been a busted play, like a disaster play. And
yeah,
I don't know if they ran that formation again the rest of the game. I mean, I just know Pick Six Preview showed it. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know if that was a one-off or if they ran 10 plays out of it or what.
I will say I've seen something I'd love to see, but I don't know if we will or not. But there's been a lot of formations to where you motion your receiver into the backfield and he continues his motion around the end. And instead of him being the target receiver, he's like a lead blocker and he's already got a full head of steam to knock out the corner or whoever's on the edge that then you just dump it to a halfback behind him or something like that.
Ran that last week? I know I saw somebody talk about it on Twitter and I saw the play, but I forget what team it was.
I can't remember it is. I've seen it a few different teams have run it this year. But yeah, last week there was one that really had a big gain out of it. But yeah, it's, you know, again, everything is just, you know, a little bit of unique and a little bit of, you know, just something different that it's going to be hard to put it into the game. Cause once you run it a few times and everybody's going to be know how to, you know, prepare for it. But in college football, that's what makes it so great is that you only see it like one time a year and you don't know how to prepare for it kind of thing. So
I listened to a show locally that they have a former assistant coach on, a guy who coached at, it's Bill Bush. He coached at LSU, Ohio State, Nebraska, been very, very successful a lot of places, really big into special teams. And he was breaking down on the radio today about some of these busted Hail Mary coverages that the defenses do. And that's one of those that, I mean, he really gets into like how they should play it and how they played it wrong, that he watches these plays and like he, when the ball's in the air, he doesn't know what's going to happen, but he sees how they're playing and like, it's a disaster. Like they,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It'd be one of those, if the game could go in there and code, you know, Hail Mary defense right and wrong. So maybe if you don't call the prevent, you get the better chance of a screw up. But then if you call it right, well, maybe they do it right. It's tough because if you call a prevent, you want them to play it right. But in reality, they don't always play it right. So I don't know if that comes out of awareness or something else. But it's interesting to hear a former coach talk about it. It's really interesting. It's something that I would never thought of or know. But then you listen to it and you're like, yeah, that's the kind of stuff we want in the game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the thing is with Hail Mary, there's so many different ways for the ball to bounce and everything that, you know, either players don't knock it straight down or they go for the pick or it just somehow makes it through all those hands anyways and still somebody comes down with it. You know, I mean, it's again, it should be one in 10 or whatever, you know, less than that probably. But at the same time, it still has to happen. It still has to seem organic, you know, make it to where it feels like you actually accomplished something, not just, you know, got the dice roll or whatever.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. We want to thank all of the community members who have given us feedback. Great stuff. Please keep it coming. If you like the show, let everybody know. If you don't like it, let us know. Email us podcast@thegamingtailgate.com. We'll take all feedback, positive or negative, especially if it's negative toward JP. We'll forward it right on to him. But any
we'll
show
make sure
idea,
he gets that.
Go right to him. But any show ideas, seriously, we want to hear it. We love it. Please leave us a 5-star review. A lot of you already have. Let's keep it going. And we would appreciate any subscription, you know, subscribing, liking the video on YouTube. For Tommy and Jeremy, I'm CDJ. Thank you for watching and listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.